Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. This month, we'll be speaking with the Astoria Community Foundation, an organization that provides scholarships and other support for youth athletics and recreation in the Astoria area. First, we'll hear from Interim Board President Meredith Payton.
Hello, my name is Meredith Payton. I'm the Interim President of the Astoria Community Foundation. Our mission for our organization is supporting equitable access for recreation for youth specifically. Our big kind of thing that we support youth with are scholarships, but we also provide fourth grade swim lessons for all Astoria School District kids. That is also purchasing swimsuits and goggles and towels if needed. So it's really low to no barrier for them to be able to participate in that. And then we provide, like I said, scholarships for swim lessons, t-ball, and that can be at parks and recreation or within the school district or outside of the school district in various sporting organizations like club basketball and some other organizations where we will provide scholarships. Right now, most of our scholarship support is focused within parks and rec. And I really think big picture is like we'd like to kind of extend some of that support out within the community of Astoria, but we're kind of reframing how we are providing funds, basically. So the big thing when I started the board was starting fourth grade swim lessons. And because I work in the school district, it was kind of like, we should definitely be doing this. Fourth grade cognitively is like a really good time to be learning this like super important skill. And so we partner with Lewis and Clark Elementary to do that. That kind of gave us a lot of momentum because I think in the last 10 years, as with many organizations, they've kind of tried to reinvent themselves, especially after COVID. Our big fundraiser is Run on the River, and that is basically how we're able to do what we do with that one major event and the sponsors we have for that event. So moving forward, we hope to continue with being able to do everything that we do, and that might mean also kind of reinventing Run on the River and what that looks like. With Bowie not being on the water, that changes things a little bit for us. But I mean, it's been going for over 10 years. It's got a lot of history. It's got a lot of people who enjoy it, and we enjoy putting it on. But we are definitely considering kind of long-term growth. We want to continue to offer these programs and be accessible, but we'll just have to see, you know, what that looks like. So this Run on the River is going to be really important, and we really want people to turn out because it's going to be a little bit different, but it'll still be the same run. It'll be a party, not on the water, but kind of close. And so that's what we depend on for sure. So for our scholarships, we have a form that's embedded on the website for Astoria Parks and Rec. Shay over at the Parks and Rec department does a great job at working with families, sending out the application as needed. And we have families, you know, apply for t-ball, softball, or swim lessons. The whole goal is for it to be really low barrier. And that's the social worker in me. When I came to the board, I kind of wanted this thing to be like, let's just have people be able to access this. And so what's nice is it's kind of streamlined how we support families and support youth and kind of standardized it in a way that feels like people know it's there, but I think we can continue to try to promote it. But that's really a partnership with the Parks and Rec. And we have given scholarships to other youth when like coaches reach out, when families reach out, but that's not as widely advertised. And that's, I think, something long-term that we want to really harness, but we are needing to get really good at what we're doing now. And I think we're doing that. The fourth grade swim lessons is so fun and so cute. The fourth grade teachers all say that it's like the kids' favorite time of year. They spend 2 weeks and they go to the pool. That's our like cornerstone thing that we do. And then we're also like the 501c3 for Sports Serve Astoria. We've supported trail work. Our organization has actually a really long history too. Our nonprofit kind of started Tapiola Park back in the day. Our nonprofit played a role in creating Port of Play, which was an indoor play area for kids. We have a long history of kind of reframing how we serve youth and support youth. And I feel like our organization has adapted to the needs of our community in a really cool way. I think, yeah, after this run on the river, there's really going to be a moment of, you know, how can we continue to engage youth, and knowing that recreation and access to recreation is our big mission. And knowing that, like, county data supports that, we have a lot of youth who, you know, it rains a lot here. And so there's not a lot of access to indoor play places for even non-school aged youth. There's a lot of room for growth and there's a lot of opportunity there. And we're hopeful that we can kind of keep building on that. Kind of going back to, you know, before COVID, we had these like swim passes. They were a great opportunity, but we found that they weren't getting used very much. For me, it was kind of like, this organization has so much potential. And rather than, you know, hand out these swim passes, let's bring the swim directly to kids. Teachers are always looking for like engaging things to do with their students. There is a way to bring these resources directly to kids. Part of that was being on the foundation, creating this fourth grade swim lessons. It just really made everyone so excited on our board and made it, you know, more tangible. Handing out swim passes or handing out scholarships, you don't really feel that change or you don't feel that impact. And so when you see the pictures of these fourth graders and you see and hear the stories, kids had never been to the pool and first time learning how to swim, it just felt really impactful. But I feel like we will continue to try to build and grow on that. We have opportunities to provide sports gear, other resources to kids as the need comes up. We have these resources, like how can we use them in a way that feels like meaningful? Keeping with the theme of direct access to families is trying to also do this like online application rather than proof of low income status, rather than jumping through all these hoops. We try to just provide the resources directly to families that way. There's opportunities to donate directly on our website through PayPal. And our biggest event is a great way to donate in terms of like just participating. Run on the River, we will need volunteers to make that event successful. We also will need runners to run it. It's Mother's Day weekend, so it's a great opportunity to get moving with your family and your kids and get out on the river walk. We're hoping that it's a great community event. And we're always looking for feedback from community members, like what are the needs in terms of equitable access to recreation. I'm sure there's lots of pockets of things happening in our community that we just don't know about. Like I said, as our foundation has done for, you know, over 10 years, is to really respond to community need. We have a website, it's AstoriaParksFoundation.com, and our run on the river is May 10th.
I'm Holly Owen. I'm the treasurer on the Astoria Community Foundation. I joined the board in 2020. I was recruited by Cassia Nye, who's a longtime board member, and I became the treasurer in 2021. I was looking to volunteer some time, try to help the community a little bit, and I met Cassia, and she convinced me that this was the spot for me where I could have an impact, and I've had a great time on the board. So the organization was created in 2012 to raise funds to subsidize pool passes and swimming lessons to the Aquatic Center, and also to subsidize youth sports that were offered through the Astoria Parks and Recreation Department. At that time, the foundation was called the Astoria Parks Recreation and Community Foundation, which is quite a mouthful and also a little bit hard to distinguish between the actual Astoria Parks and Recreation Department. So now we operate under the name Astoria Community Foundation. Since then, we have grown our programs a little bit. We're a fully volunteer foundation, so we don't have any paid staff. So everything that happens is volunteer time. One program that we're really proud of that we've introduced in the past 3 years is the fourth grade swim lessons. Lewis and Clark School was the only school in the region that didn't have these swim lessons for fourth graders. So we're really happy to be able to fund this program and bring it back. The other thing that we like to do is partner with other organizations. In 2023, we partnered with an organization called Sports Serve Astoria. They're pickleball enthusiasts, and we were able to help them raise money to get those pickleball courts resurfaced over at Fred Lindstrom Park. That was a really successful project, and we worked with the Parks Department as well to get that project done. We were able to raise enough money to get those courts resurfaced and also the basketball court resurfaced. And that's been really fun for me to see. I live nearby Fred Lindstrom Park, and so there's just been such a huge increase in use of those courts since that revitalization happened in 2023. So it's been really fun to see. We've heard so much great feedback about the fourth grade swim lessons. The teachers have such glowing reports about how great it is for the kids, how much fun they have. We get photos of them and they're so sweet. You know, some of these kids haven't been to the pool before. It's a really great opportunity to get them in the water, get them comfortable. So that's been really, really fun to see. I feel like that's probably our most successful program and the one I'm most proud of. You know, not everyone has time or is able to get to the aquatic center and to take swim lessons. So the equity piece was really important for us to go to the school and say, hey, we're going to bus all these kids to the aquatic center and get them in the water, having fun. We have so many great ideas and not quite enough time to execute all these wonderful ideas for getting folks out, having fun. The one big thing that's coming up for us right now is our main fundraiser, which is Run on the River. It's on May 10th. This is our 12th year. This was the main event that was created in 2012 to raise the money initially. And it's been really successful for us. We get about 600 runners and lots of people come from out of town. The runners always have a great time. We get such good feedback about what a great course it is and how much fun they have. AstoriaParksFoundation.com is where you're going to find all the information about how to get involved. You can also Google Run on the River and you'll be able to find us easily. One way to support us is to just register for the run. If you're a runner or a walker, it's a 5K, 10K, half marathon. So you'll pick your poison, I guess. You can also register to volunteer. We need lots of volunteers on that day to direct the runners on the route, to make sure they have water, you know, just sort of help make sure everyone's getting to where they need to be. And that's a really fun volunteer gig. You get a free beer at the after party afterwards. We're also looking for sponsors. If you're a business and like to sponsor the event, we've got a couple different sponsorship levels, and you can find information about that on our website as well. You can donate on our website. That's always an option, always available to make donations. And for our trails program, we're going to have a few, and James will talk more about this, we're going to have some trail work days coming up. You can go to our website and our contact us page and sign up to get emails about upcoming events. I think this foundation is not very well known. I think people know about Run on the River. It's been happening for 12 years. They don't know that the proceeds to that run go to fund fourth grade swim lessons and for scholarships for youth sports and swimming lessons. So I would like to get that word out there. All of the proceeds for Run on the River go towards the community, getting kids active and recreating.
Hi, my name is James Johnston, and I'm the Trails Coordinator on the board of the Astoria Community Foundation. So the Trails Coordinator aspect of ACF is related to improving trails and trail access in the community. Astoria only has a few trails in the forest, and the largest one is the Cathedral Tree Trail, which is 1 mile long. There's also a trail in Shively Park that might be half mile or so. The reason there's a trail coordinator on the ACF is because back in 2020, I started working with Parks and Rec on a project to do some repairs at the top of the Cathedral Tree Trail. In talking to Jonah Dart McLean at Parks and Rec, he mentioned a grant that was available locally from another trails club. It was called the NCTC. I asked them for a grant and through that discussion realized that I needed an association with 501(c) in order to get the grant. That's how NCTC and Jonah both told me to check with the ACF. I did, and I think, you know, just talking about trails and trail work really fit with their approach to providing recreational access in the community. And trails just seem like a natural fit for that. So we secured that grant, which I used to buy some gravel, which we dumped at the top of the Cathedral Tree Trail. And then working with Astoria Parks and Rec, we got volunteers and did about 4 trail days, improved a lot of really muddy areas at the top of the Cathedral Tree Trail. Kind of at the end of that summer, the Parks and Rec decided to put out a bid to get a proposal to build the whole trail. And we worked on developing that into a project where we would get a grant to fund the entire project. So that was a much more expensive project, and that group would have come in, that company would have come in and built the whole thing. And so we applied for that grant, we didn't get it, and then we applied for it the second year in a row and didn't get it. So that was like 2022, 2023. And then at the end of that, we decided over 2024, Parks and Rec decided that they had enough resources to maybe work on the trail themselves and just kind of DIY rebuild the trail, the lower section, and bypass all the roots and the wooden structures, not really worry so much about the top part and doing the entire trail, but get that bypass in. And so over the summer, we kind of planned that route and then worked on getting that set up. So that's now all the way through. And then in November, we had a volunteer day, which had about, I think, 20 people, and got out there and worked all day, just working on the trail bed. There's a lot of work that needs to be done out there. There's a lot of spots that, you know, it's going to take a minute. But I think in the spring, we'll come back to more work days and be looking for volunteers. So that's really exciting, because that 1 mile Cathedral Tree Trail is the only real trail of any length in the forest here. We have so much forest back behind the city that just doesn't have a lot of trails and access in it. And so to have that one trail, if you want to go hiking, is really a nice resource to have in the community. So anyway, that's really the focus of ACF in regards to trails. Until the Cathedral Tree Trail is completed, hopefully this year, but maybe it takes longer because we're not doing this with any kind of contracted schedule. That'll remain the focus for now. The other longer-term focus is to promote and develop further the trails that exist beyond the column and the radio towers. There's currently about 13 miles of trail back there. Prior to the big storm of 2007 that everybody talks about, which really brought down a whole bunch of trees, there was a really large network of trails that existed and a bit of a mountain biking community that existed around those trails back there. And there's a lot of people recreating, riding, running, and accessing those areas. After that storm, it just kind of disappeared, never really recovered. So most of that, I think, or a lot of that, has been now cleared enough that we're starting to see people returning, more mountain bikers, a lot of people running or just out hiking, even out on some of the further trails. And so that's been kind of a secondary effort to continue to sort of maintain and improve access to those, because that's a really large network for us. It's small in comparison to other areas with about 13 miles of trail back there, but it's pretty nice for what we have. You can get out there for an hour after work and get a loop in if you need to get some exercise. And trail maintenance is different everywhere. So here we have insane growth of plants and plant life. And so clearing that back is a big part of the maintenance. Weed whackers aren't actually great for that. We've got a lot of really thick, brushy stuff and vines, and you really need to just lop that stuff. It's just like big, giant weeds. We have the growth that happens in clear cuts. You know, it's this wide open space, and the thing that comes back is all the brackeny briar and stuff. So that's a big part of it. Another part of it is repairing areas of like that need drainage. And that's when you talk about what makes a good trail and what makes it sustainable. It's building it to a level that is going to drain. Here with all this rain, you know, we've got to have runoff, and it has to go somewhere. So anywhere you have a low puddle, it's just not going to work. So you have to angle the trail bed, but you got to make it strong enough that it's not just going to erode as well. So like that's what we did on the Cathedral Tree Trail. There was big muddy areas. There was an area we just called Big Muddy, and that was our biggest project. That was like the primary project we wanted to do at the beginning that we got the gravel for. We had to go down there, and we had to have, you know, wheelbarrows and shovels and hose. You got to clear out the area and prepare it first, and then you got to lay down all the gravel and really tamp it down and put it at the right angle. And that's held up for about 4 years now. But I noticed the other day we need to dig out the drainage again. You just keep filling up those drainage holes over and over. The other trail network beyond the Cathedral Tree, it's, you know, clearing those pathways so you're not riding through brush in your face. Just improving drainage so you're not riding through puddles. So in terms of my interest getting into this, it really started because the Cathedral Tree Trail was the only connection off the column to the rest of the trail network. Those old motorcycle tracks and logging roads that have turned into trails over the years. And I wanted to improve those trails, and then I wanted to improve the access to get from the Cathedral Trail onto those trails, because the Cathedral Trail was so awful in the winter and the mud. That's what kind of drew me to that project, was mountain biking. And then to find out that there was this really big culture of mountain biking here back before the big storm of 2007 that knocked trees down over everything and knocked out those trails, and to be back there and wondering, like, where were all these trails. There were so I keep hearing about them, but where was all this stuff? And how come we even have the trails that we do have now? And just interested in exploring that space. And it's cool back there. I don't think a lot of people go back beyond the column too far off the Cathedral Tree Trail and back to the radio tower and the cell tower, because it extends pretty far and it's been traversed by people and animals for centuries. And so everywhere you look, you see signs, even in the dense forest that takes over everything, you see signs of people. To get involved with trail work on the Cathedral Tree Trail, you can go to the ACF website, and I think my picture is on there with the email, but you can check with me, and you can also check with the Parks and Rec email and just let them know that you're interested in volunteering. We have to really put down a lot of gravel, which I think is the next big thing, and we'll be looking for volunteers for that. And I don't know if there's any need for funding around any of that. You know, we'll be looking at that with Parks and Rec as we discuss those days and really plan it out in a way to finish that work and get that surface in there. It's getting drier, so I think obviously spring and summer is the best time to do that here. Thank you, KMUN, and thank you, Beach Grassroots and Emma, for having us and helping us promote what ACF does in the community. Not a lot of people know that it's out there, but you know, we're just trying to create recreational opportunities for kids mostly. But I think, you know, with the trails, it extends to the whole population, really. Trails are just a huge benefit for a community. I mean, they have obvious health benefits. It all kind of boils down to health, whether it's your body or your mind. But then there's also like economic benefits for a community of having a whole bunch of trails and a good trail network. And you can see it in communities all over the country that have realized if they have a good trail network, the mountain bikers will come, hikers and runners and everybody else will come and want to be checking out your trails and your forest. So it's a nice little benefit in that way too. But health overall, to have things to get out and do and just get your heart pumping, even if it's only for an hour.
My name is Adriana, and I have been on the Astoria Community Foundation board since 2020. I have actually been the secretary, and I believe I started that right in 2020, if not that first year. And I love the board because I was working for the city of Astoria doing after-school care, and I just saw a lot of, you know, children not being able to participate in certain sports or even swimming lessons and things like that. At the time, the Astoria School District did not have swim lessons for fourth grade. So it just seemed like there was a lot that needed to happen for the kids when it came to like access for just recreational activities, sports and things like that. So the main goal of Astoria Community Foundation is access to recreational activities and just to make sure that families have access to wellness and fun stuff to do for the family. So that was introduced to me by one of the board members at the time, and I just kind of got roped into it and jumped right in and started to see what was needed, what kind of things we could get involved in and support financially with sponsorships and run on the river. You know, that was my first year run on the river. Well, actually, it was 2020 that I started, so I did not get to do Run on the River the first year that I was on the board. And we had to kind of navigate that. And that was kind of a weird year to start. But once we started getting Run on the River going again, because we did it virtually, which was fun, after we started to get back into it, it was really fun just to see all the volunteers come back together and put that on. So it's fun because we get to support certain things, but we also host this big recreational running event where people come together from all over and support. You know, like I have cried watching people come through the finish line, which felt so silly at the time. But it's like such an exciting thing when you see like for a second place, you know, because people, they train for years, they train year round. And it's really amazing to see people that are so dedicated to it. But then there are also people that run the 5K that do it every year and do it as a family. So getting to see families run that every year and see the kids getting older, it's just such a fun, dependable event. So yeah, I think just like the excitement of being there on race day, I'm just always there as a volunteer, but just getting to see people show up and do that has been really, really fun. There are a few different options. You can do the 5K, 10K, or the half marathon that you can register for. A lot of people just come because they want to come support. And I don't think a lot of people know that Run on the River is our main fundraiser, or they don't, you know, associate the scholarships we provide with the event. The, you know, getting to experience the pandemic, you know, really seeing how amplified isolation can be and how harmful isolation is in the long term. I feel like that experience made it much more important to me to make sure that there's access to family sports and family activities, but really just to make sure that like kids are involved and, you know, just getting kids involved into sports. You know, families do come together and there's like carpools and things like that that happen. And it's just a very social thing. So, you know, families that don't get to experience that because of finances, they're missing out on this togetherness, this community connection. Just having that access just creates connection and pulls people away from that like isolation and shame that you can feel from not having finances to be able to do fun things. That is probably like the biggest reason, is just community connection. Yeah, I have one friend that had reached out. We were in a group chat together from when I used to work at a coffee shop, and we just kind of stay connected. And she had talked about how, you know, she had a new job and she wasn't sure how she was going to be able to afford her new job because of childcare, because it was longer hours. And she just shared her frustration and she was really anxious about making this happen. Initially, I didn't think of it, but it was like later that night, I was like, oh my gosh, the scholarships, because we had voted to help with after school program. And so I sent her a message and said, you should call and inquire about this after school scholarship. So she texted me about a week later that she was approved for it. And that just lifted a lot of stress. And she was able to start a new job and not have to worry about where her daughter was going to be. And that was really exciting because that was, you know, it's a close friend of mine. So it was just nice to kind of have like a outside view of that. It, you know, it was like a little miracle in her life and she was very excited about it. So I got to share in that excitement and I was really grateful that there were funds left over for that at that time. So reaching out directly to, if it's the after school program, then it would be reaching out directly to Astoria Parks and Recreation's after school program manager. I know that Tyler has been really for sports and things like that. Tyler's a great contact. But reaching out directly to Astoria Parks and Recreation and just asking about the specific scholarship needed, whether it be an after school program, a specific sport, and then they will be able to connect to the program manager who can get the person that scholarship form or take down the information needed. But it's just very basic information. You know, they don't ask for a really specific breakdown of income and things like that. We believe in people and their integrity. And so if someone's asking for a scholarship, it means they need it. So if someone asks for that scholarship, we believe that they need that and provide them with the correct forms and things like that. But Astoria Parks and Recreation would be the place to reach out to. My favorite thing that we've done is swimming lessons for fourth grade. I think it's so essential that children know how to swim, especially because of where we live. So just getting to see how excited the kids were, you know, we got big thank you posters and things like that. But really, it was just hearing from the teachers and parents, like how excited their children were to get to do those swim lessons. It just felt like we were doing something important. We've connected a lot of people with scholarships, but getting to see classes have that connection with like the parents that were able to volunteer and the teachers and then with each other, that was really fun to see pictures of that and just hear the feedback.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can find out more about the Astoria Community Foundation at astoriaparksfoundation.com. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emma Geddes. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org.